Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. I heard of an instance where a young person said to a Christian, "Can you explain to me, why do Christians hate homosexuals so much?" And I heard that and I thought, while the media has brainwashed the younger generation, we don't hate homosexuals, we love homosexuals, we disagree with the behavior. And so I thought we better do a program on how do we reach young people to follow Christ and not the culture, not the media. So we're going to bring in an expert today. She's a young adult and she knows her stuff. Welcome, Grace Evans.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on the program.
Absolutely.
And you work for the Minnesota Family Council, mm-hmm. and you go around to all kinds of churches. The Catholic churches love you because you're pro-life, but the evangelical conservative Protestants do too, because you'll go to their church and talk to them about all these issues. Mm-hmm. So let's jump into the whole homosexual issue, transgenderism, mm-hmm. abortion, where just the whole world is going in the wrong direction, and how do we help young people follow Christ, not the culture? Mm-hmm. Before we jump into it, though, I always like to ask our guest, how did you, Grace, come to know Christ?
Yeah, so I was raised in a Christian home. My dad was actually a pastor, so grew up as a pastor's kid, moved around a lot, but I just have amazing parents. They're so wonderful, and so I can't remember a day where I didn't know the Lord, didn't love the Lord, didn't call Him my Savior and King, and so it's a huge, huge blessing, a huge testimony to God's faithfulness throughout generations.
So you can't remember a day when you weren't a Christian.
That's right.
Well, good for you. Now, some people would say, therefore, you're not saved. You have to know the date you were
saved. I have to be rebaptized. I have to pray the prayer.
Yeah, and God bless you. I'm with you. I think it's great to have a conversion story, but it's great to not know because you've been raised in it. Mm-hmm. So that's good. All right. So how did you get into this ministry?
Yeah, that's a good question. So in high school, I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do with my life. And I remember it was January of 2019. And New York City had just passed this law legalizing abortion up to the very moment of birth. And when I saw that, I was heartbroken. Why? Because they lit up their skyscrapers to celebrate this, to celebrate baby murder in the colors blue and pink. And that just tore at my heart.
That makes no sense.
No, I was crushed. And I saw so many young people celebrating this on social media as a huge win for women's rights. And so I was just overcome with sadness. And so I applied to work for Minnesota Family Council, which is a pro-life, pro-family, pro-religious freedom organization here in Minnesota. It's Christian. It's a nonprofit. And I started working there in communications. And so now what I do for them is I travel the state and speak to churches and parishes, et cetera. I co-host a weekly podcast called the Family Beacon Podcast on all platforms. You can find it also at our website, mfc.org. I talk mm-hmm. about the top news stories around those issues every single week. It's so much fun. And I really love what I do.
Well, let's talk about you made it clear to me. Minnesota has passed radical legislation mm-hmm. so that children mm-hmm. can get sex change operations in the state of Minnesota. And not just the hormone blockers, which are horrible enough, but some states have banned that. Minnesota passed legislation so that if you want your child to get a sex change operation, you bring them to Minnesota. Mm-hmm. And you made it clear, though, it's even worse than that, that if you're a parent and don't want your child to have that, a judge can go around the parents. Explain that to me.
Yeah, so basically in Minnesota, a court of the state can take away parental custody from parents that disagree with gender transitioning and gender ideology. And that applies not only to Minnesotan parents, but it applies to parents over the border that have kids. And if those kids come here, then a Minnesota court of the state can take custody of those kids. And what's really heartbreaking about it, aside from the fact that it's hurting children and it's enabling children to receive life-altering drugs that cause irreversible damage, apart from that, it actually treats parents like abusers. And so what we're seeing is we already have lots of protections for children that may be abused by parents, and that's good. We want kids to be protected. But a parent that doesn't want their child to undergo irreversible damage is not an abuser. He or she is a protector. And so that's so heartbreaking. And so the proponents of this bill are calling it the, quote, trans refugee refuge bill because all of our border states are less liberal on this issue. But we are calling it the kidnapping bill. This is Senate File 63. It kidnaps children from their parents, treats parents like abusers, and treats children that are suffering from gender dysphoria like these celebrities that need to have these procedures done, when in reality, actually, it's going to hurt them in the long run, and they're going to wish they never had undergone it.
And so the Minneapolis Public Schools puts on a drag queen story time, and at the same time, they bring in someone from Children's Hospital Minnesota to explain to the parents how their children can transition.
As young as four.
They do the chemical castration, the hormone blockers at Children's Hospital of Minnesota. I wouldn't give them a penny, anybody. Stop your donations there. But let's talk about pronouns.
Yeah, let's talk
Let's say you've got a lesbian friend, you've got a man friend who thinks he's a woman and he wants you to call her.
Yeah.
Do you do it?
Absolutely not. I mean, it's...
Why don't you do it? Are you being a hater?
Do you hate them?
Yeah.
The most compassionate thing is to agree with God and to realize God is love. That's what the Bible says. That's what John says. And so if God is love, that means that I, as a believer, can't outlove God. There's no way I could be more outloving than God. And so what God says is love and love is truth. And so the most loving thing I can do is agree with God and to say the truth, which is you are a man if you're a man and you're a woman if you're a woman. And so I hear from teens all the time, well, can I put my pronouns in my social media bio? Like if I'm a woman, can I just put she, her pronouns in it? And I say no, because guess what? That buys into the false narrative that you can change your gender.
Exactly.
It's so unneeded. And if anyone ever asks me what my gender is or like what I identify as, I say, what does it look like to you? What does it look like? I'm a woman.
Why can't I identify as a 14-year-old black woman from Alabama? Why can't we do this with race?
Or age.
I identify as 25 years old. Why not? It's that crazy.
Or even with species. I mean, I see kids even now that are thinking they're cats, and then schools will provide litter boxes for them. I mean, it's crazy. When you validate yourself and your feelings above all else, then really that's the natural outcome is I can be whoever I want, I can love whoever I want. And by the way, pedophilia stems from this. I mean, if you can love whoever you want, then like you say, it applies to age. And really, pedophilia is now being normalized here in our state. And so we really need to ask, why are people so bent on sexualizing our children?
Yeah.
And the answer is, I mean, there's really only one reason why a man would twerk in front of an innocent child.
Which happened at the gay pride parade here in Minneapolis.
That's right. Or why a man would dress as a woman and read stories to children with makeup and skimpy clothing on. There's really only one reason. Right? And so we need to be careful in protecting our kids from this, and we need to be careful that we're not normalizing this for our kids. So don't let your kids watch TV shows with gay friends, because if the character Bob has a friend that's gay, then that friend is so nice, then your kid's going to be like, oh, well, that gay
exactly.
friend is so nice.
And you know, I'll say this too, you don't know my story, but I have struggled with same-sex attraction most of my life. We've done whole TV shows on it. I don't hate homosexuals. I want them to go to heaven. 1 Corinthians 6 says if you practice that lifestyle, you're not going to heaven. So who's really hating the homosexuals? The liberal bishops in some of our denominations that are telling people go ahead. That's what's hateful.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me, would you go to a lesbian wedding?
No.
Why not? Because, are you being hateful?
Because I believe how God instituted marriage, and it's between one man and one woman, and the state can redefine marriage like they did with Obergefell, and I testified against that actually when I was 11 at the Capitol, but that doesn't mean that marriage is now somehow between whoever. I mean, God instituted marriage, and the state can say this is marriage, but it's really not.
Exactly. So when two women marry, it's not a marriage.
No, it's not.
And Jesus said in Matthew 18, God made them male and female. He didn't add or bisexual or transgender or pansexual or two-spirit. God made us male and female. And for churches to get into doing gay weddings. And
you saw that Sparkle Creed, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
It's crazy.
I did a whole TV show. Not
there
a whole TV
go.
Show. But it's just, a Sparkle Creed is when this liberal Lutheran
pastor in Minnesota,
that church has been radical for years.
Pastorette.
And nobody does anything about him.
It's crazy.
God is multi-whatever. No, he isn't.
No.
All right. Let's get back to one more question on homosexuality and transgenderism. Sports.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got a man who thinks he's a woman being able to swim in a woman's sports meet, and he's killing it because he's really a man.
Yeah.
What do you do about that?
Yeah, we see that example with Leah Thomas. I mean, he, biological male, was placing not super well in men's swimming races, but then he decided to identify as a woman and started swimming in women's meets, and surprise, surprise, got first place every single time. Now, yeah. I have nothing but compassion for people struggling with gender dysphoria, nothing but compassion in my heart, and no one's against these people participating in sports. We're fine with that. What we are against is we're against them playing against women, biological women, in an unfair and unsafe playing field, because every woman and every girl deserves to play sports on a fair and level playing field. Mm-hmm. And it just hurts women. I mean, it puts them at such a disadvantage if biological men are able to play on their field, because women have trained their, oftentimes their entire lives, their entire careers, to be the very best, only to be replaced by someone like Leah Thomas. And I mean, that's what happened to Riley Gaines, who now speaks out against it. And she was just here in Minnesota recently and spoke out against it. And it's heartbreaking, because women deserve the opportunity to compete in high level sports, and they shouldn't have their medals stripped from them by men.
So Target stores, would you stop saying men can go into the women's room, which is what they've done in Target?
And I mean, I'm sure you saw their whole big Pride collection.
I did a whole video
on that. They had chest binders for children.
I know.
It's awful. Well,
and then let's talk about people that regret the fact that they had their breasts chopped off. Like, go explain that woman you talked to me about.
Yeah, there's one amazing girl. Her name is Chloe Cole. She's a young woman, and she underwent gender transition when she was really young, like 14 or 15, and she had a double mastectomy, so that's both breasts being chopped off.
And that's loving.
Right, it's so compassionate. And she had other chemicals injected into her to grow facial hair, to lower her voice, all of these things, and she underwent that, and then now she's 18 or 19, and she deeply regrets it. I mean, she's heartbroken because no doctors told her how awful it would be, how the damage would be irreversible. And so now she speaks out all across the states. She says, if I ever even can have children, because she doesn't know if she can, I won't be able to nurse them. I won't be able to nurse my own children. And there are other side effects. I mean, you lose bone density. You have many mental health problems after undergoing these surgeries. Becoming sterile, infertile, is very, very common. I mean, just think about it. You haven't undergone puberty, and you're being injected with these toxic hormones. It's so harmful to children.
And again, the ELCA Lutherans put an 11-year-old boy who thinks he's a girl on stage to preach transgenderism to the teenagers. 31,000 teenagers had a transgender 11-year-old, and the ELCA, with their healthcare plan, which is paid for by offering dollars, gives that child hormone blockers.
It's awful.
And they pay for adults' sex change operation. If you're an ELCA Lutheran, your offering dollars at work. They also pay for abortions for any reason, which is, that's when you put money in the plate of that church, the PCUSA Presbyterians, the United Church of Christ, some of that money can go to pay for an abortion for any reason whatsoever. So let's move to the abortion issue. All right, Grace, why don't you think a woman has the right to do what she wants to with her body?
It's as simple as this. It's every woman deserves to do what she wants with her own body, as long as she's not hurting someone else. So, I mean, if a man wants to do something with his body, that's fine, as long as he's not hurting someone else. Like, he doesn't have the right to rape someone with his body or to shoot someone with a gun with his body. Likewise, a woman doesn't have the right to hurt someone else with her own body. And so when a woman is pregnant with a boy, she doesn't have four arms, she has two arms. She's not 50% male and 50% female. She's a woman, and her baby is a boy inside of her. And so
There's another body going on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, from the moment of conception, the science is so crystal clear. That baby has unique DNA, a unique heartbeat. I mean, that heartbeat starts so, so early. And so that's what people really need to understand, is maybe in centuries past, decades past, we had somewhat more of an excuse on this topic. I mean, ultrasounds weren't as clear. We didn't have the technology that we have now. But now it's so clear. I mean, the ultrasounds show in very specific detail that is a baby. It's so, so, so clear. Mm-hmm. And so that baby is not the woman's body. And women have the right to do things like choose to go to the dentist, choose to buy what car they want, to dye their hair a certain color. But that's a matter of preference. I mean, an abortion isn't a preference. It's a matter of life and death.
Yeah. And I think, 97% of abortions are not done for rape, incest, or life of the mother. It's for other reasons. So let's go to the hard questions. Are you telling me a 14-year-old who's been raped by her father shouldn't be able to have an abortion?
Are you asking me if a child that has been conceived of rape is less valuable than a child that wasn't conceived in rape? That's what I ask people. And they're like, oh, no, no, no. And then I say, why are you asking me that question? But, I mean, I can answer it even more than that. So first you need to start with, of course, rape is a horrible, horrible act, and no woman should have to undergo that. No girl should have to undergo that. And so I think that we need to raise penalties for rape. We need to increase the perpetration of those offenders, and to, of course, provide support for women that undergo these horrible things.
But we took that away in Minnesota, too.
Yeah.
We used to support crisis pregnancy centers. They defunded that, mm-hmm. and they fund things like Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, I know. And they also make it so that here in Minnesota, a minor can get an abortion without telling her parents, which means that...
You can't get a tattoo, but you can get a 14-year-old can get an abortion.
Or can get their breast chopped off. And it's horrible because that means that her abuser can take her to get an abortion and the parents will never know.
Right.
It's so bad. So what I will say to this, though, is a child should never be punished for the sins of his father. Never, ever do we have an innocent child murdered because of what his father has committed. That child is innocent and
worthy of
life.
So the 14-year-old should have the baby.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean... Yeah. I have heard from a woman that was raped when she was a teen. She was told by everyone to get an abortion. She was told, this baby is going to end your life. Well, she refused to listen to those people, and she actually went through with the pregnancy. And now she says, people told me that, you know, having this baby would end my life, but this baby has saved my life, which is so precious. And, undergoing an abortion isn't going to undo that trauma that woman underwent.
It'll create trauma number two.
Yeah, it's going to add justice. It's going to add trauma. It's going to add... like more trauma to an already awful situation. So why would we want to subject a woman to more mental trauma, more physical trauma, when she's already been traumatized by something so awful?
And if I remember right, I think Beethoven was the product of a rape.
I think he had like 11 siblings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. How about to save the life of the mother? Wouldn't you agree that in self-defense, if having the baby is going to kill the mother, that the mother has the right to have the abortion? What would you say to that?
Yeah, so the American Association of Gynecologists and Obstetricians actually signed off on a statement that said, and this is a huge group of doctors and
that are not medical professionals. That are not Bible-believing conservatives.
Right, exactly. They signed off on the statement. They said it is never medically necessary to kill a child in order to save the life of the mother. Now, let's explain that a little bit more, because let's say, okay, well, what about in the case of an ectopic pregnancy? Because people bring that up all the time. Now, an ectopic pregnancy is where the baby is supposed to implant inside the uterus, but sometimes that baby will actually implant in the fallopian tube, and if the baby does that, that area is actually hostile to the baby, so the baby will die if it stays there, which is heartbreaking. Now, sometimes the mom will die too, or sometimes there will be other complications. And so when that happens, a doctor actually has to go in and remove that baby from the fallopian tube. Now, we're not quite advanced enough in our technology to be able to save that baby's life usually, because it's so early on. But what they do is they remove that baby, and they're treating that baby and that mom like a patient, as a doctor should, trying to give both of them a chance at life. And sometimes that mom can hold her little baby in her hand. She can sometimes have a few moments with that baby. And the procedure is very different from an abortion. Mm-hmm. Why? Because abortion is the direct and intentional killing of an innocent human child. And if that's what abortion is, then any other procedure that is designed to save the mother's life should be also designed to save the baby's life. Now, maybe that's not possible, but that's different than an abortion. And so that's what people need to understand. And I mean, in the third trimester, the baby is so fully developed that you just go ahead and do a preterm delivery, an early delivery, if that's necessary. Mm-hmm. And so that's what people need to understand, is that's truly a red herring. I mean, after Roe v. Wade, we saw so many states just perpetuating this lie.
Myth.
Yeah, this lie that, oh, women are going to die because they're not going to be able to get the life-saving care that they need. And, I mean, when they say, oh, we need abortion because of a woman's life, they also include in that, like, oh, mental health. Like, they're like, oh, well, a woman might...
Or social health. Or financial health.
All of the
in
things.
Other words, you find a reason, we'll kill the child.
Yeah.
And what about this? I don't personally believe in abortion, but who am I to tell someone else what they can do with their body? What do you say to that?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I hear that all the time. There's a guy at a local coffee shop. He owns it, that I go into a lot. And we've had a conversation about this before. Once I was wearing a shirt that said, women's rights begin in the womb. And he was like, I love that shirt. You're a feminist, right? And I was like, actually, this is about abortion.
And the baby.
So, right. But if you are personally pro-life, then that shows that you have some reservation about abortion. And if you have some reservation about abortion, you should think about what that reservation really is. And I think these people that say they're personally pro-life, those are the people that are the movable middle. They're the people that we can pull to our side, because they agree there's something wrong with abortion, and they feel uncomfy about it, but they don't want to impose that on anyone else, because they don't want to be seen as unloving. But if something's wrong, it's morally wrong for everyone, right?
And what I would say, I don't personally believe in slavery, mm-hmm. but who am I to tell you you can't own a slave?
Right.
Same thing.
Or I don't personally, like, I don't support child abuse, but if you want to abuse your child.
And that's what abortion is. Mm-hmm. So rape, incest to save the life of the mother.
I think I have one more, actually.
Okay, what's that?
There's one more. It's, well, what if the child would be born with a disability?
Okay.
Like a life-threatening disability.
Yeah.
Or what if the child would be born into poverty? Really horrible poverty. And to which I say, okay, let's say you were visiting a third world country, right? And you saw a two-year-old and you could see his ribs sticking out and you could see that he was starved. So there's serious malnutrition. Let's say both his parents were dying. He's being raised by his eight-year-old sister. Should we then go ahead and kill that child to end his life so that he doesn't have to suffer? No one would say yes. I mean, we should work towards ending the injustice.
Right.
We shouldn't work towards ending the child.
Absolutely.
And so really, whenever someone brings up a pro-abortion argument, there's three things that I think you can do. The main things that you can win the argument is emphasize the humanity of the baby, speak the truth about abortion, because people are horrified when they find out what abortion is, the crushing of a child, the starving of a child, the suctioning out of a child. And then also use the argument, or use this phrase, trot out the toddler. And that's where you insert a toddler into the argument they're making. So for any of these things, you just say, well, let's say a toddler was in this situation, blah, 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 and set the stage for them. And then they're like, oh, no, I don't agree with that. And you say, well, then why would you support a baby
right.
undergoing this? So
yeah.
It works with the...
Well, and then let's make this point, too. I'm not for this, but let's say we, okay, have legal abortion for rape, incest, save the life of the mother. What about the other 97% mm-hmm. of abortions that aren't done for those three reasons? Would you be willing to ban those? And those people say no.
Right.
Well, then why bring up the three hard ones when you want abortion on demand?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I mean, the Democratic Party has gone in the past years from safe, legal, and rare for abortion to anytime on demand for no reason whatsoever.
Right.
And it's happened very, very quickly.
It has.
And now that's the talking line. That's the line they spew out in all the interviews.
There used to be a fairly large group here in Minnesota called mm-hmm. Democrats Pro-Life. I think they've gone the way of the dinosaur. I never hear from them anymore.
Wow.
All right. Let's ask this question, too. Here's your iPhone. And
yeah.
I'm serious. I pray about how addicted I am to this thing. And Lord, help me not look at my phone too much today. Heard of a little girl saying, I hate mommy's phone just because of the way this has overtaken our lives. How has social media affected your generation?
Yeah, I've read a lot of different books on this, and I've even seen it in my own life. But you get this dopamine hit from scrolling on your phone. You get that dopamine hit, and it makes you want more of it because it triggers a certain part of your brain, and then you just keep going. And really, the main way I've seen it affect my generation is we can't retain information, and we can't focus on things for long periods of time. So if we're sitting in a lecture or in a sermon, it's really hard for us to focus for more than like 5 minutes because we're so used to things being thrown at us. I mean, we open Instagram and there's an ad, but then there's a story, but then there's a reel, but then there's a post, and there's these captions to read, and there's these comments, and then, oh, and then I get a notification from a text, and then it's just you're constantly have this little device in your pocket, and you're so used to having these different streams of information hitting you that when you have one thing going for a long period of time, your attention span is just so low. And it's really detrimental, I think, because I'll go to a restaurant with some friends sometimes, and maybe like someone will go to leave to use the bathroom or something and come back. We come back and everyone's on their phone. Because why? Because now we're so afraid to be seen just sitting by ourselves in peace and tranquility.
Yeah. So
it's like an embarrassing
thing.
What
is that doing to us?
I think it's just making us really self-conscious, and it's depersonalizing
us. Yeah, we don't have relationships.
Right. So my generation is the most depressed, the most anxious, the most isolated of all generations ever. And we're the only generation that would rather sit on our phone and enter online chat rooms and talk to our friends online than actually hang out with them in person.
All right. And let me tell you, years ago, I saw four teenagers walking down the street together. All of them were looking at their phones, not
crazy.
Talking to each other. But then a few years after that, I walked into a restaurant where people were waiting for a table. I'm going to guess there were eight people in their 70s. They were doing the same thing.
Crazy.
So, and I'll tell you one thing I do look at on the phone, though. If you Google pro-life demonstration versus pro-choice demonstration, and you get people calmly going up and asking questions, and the pro-lifers answer it, and the pro-choicers are screaming. What do you think? I mean, just so angry that anybody would ask such a question. What's behind the anger of all this?
It shows they don't have a good defense for what they're advocating for.
And do they have guilt because they've had three abortions?
Potentially.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never know. But yeah, I mean, that's something that's really shocking to me is I'll go to a lot of pro-life events, and a lot of times there will be pro-abortion protesters, and they'll be yelling angry things. And so sometimes I'll walk up and I'll say, does anyone want to have a conversation? I'm happy to have a conversation with anyone that wants
to
talk.
And they don't want one.
No, and it goes back to what we were saying earlier is they'll just be like, oh, like you're just a bigot, you're a hater, you're a woman hater, and I'm a woman, obviously. And you just hate women and you want to take away their rights. It's like, why would I want to take away rights from myself? But they never want to talk. And why is that? It's because they know they're wrong. They know they don't have any ground to stand on. They only have sinking sand. And so if you're pro-life and you're out there and you're watching this, I want you to take hope. If you're against these gender mutilation of children, take hope, because guess what? You are on the side of love, of science, of truth,
of God,
justice, of basic human rights, and yes, of most importantly,
of God. Yes.
And so we cannot fail. We can only win. Now, we don't know all the chapters in the story. We don't know how all the little things are going to go, but we do know the final chapter, and we do know what happens in the end.
The second coming of
spoiler
Christ.
Spoiler alert, God wins. And so I want to make
Judgment
sure that I'm on his side.
Yeah, amen. Well, listen, I just want to say something, too. If you have had an abortion, I want to say just, first of all, there is forgiveness with the Lord. And if you're sorry for what you've done, and if you come to Christ, one of the sins he died for was abortion. And if you committed gay sex, God will, there's forgiveness of all these sins through repentance and faith in Christ. So I want to say that to you. If you're considering an abortion, though, thou shalt not kill. Psalm 131 talks about how God is knitting that. Psalm 139 is talking about how God is knitting that baby in your womb. What would you say to someone who's considering an abortion?
You know, I think that the main thing that women need to hear when they're considering abortion is, I am here for you. I am here for you. I will support you. I will help you. You are loved. You are cared for. There are so many resources for you.
There are pro-life centers here.
I've heard from so many women and girls. That's all I need to hear. All I needed was one person to say, I will stand with you and I will help you and I'm here for you. That's all I needed, because a lot of the times women are, you know, being told by everyone, especially their partner, get rid of this baby. We don't want this baby. And if they just have one person that says, you can do this, you are strong enough, they're going to choose life.
And there's something called adoption.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody, thanks for watching. Listen, Grace, so good to have you here.
Great to be here.
If somebody wants you to come to their church, maybe we could put the info up again.
Yeah.
They would just go to mfc.org, or I don't even know what Instagram is.
Yeah, there's a form on the website that you guys can go to. You can just fill it out and request to have me come speak wherever here in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can DM me on Instagram too.
But you know, we can't end this show without praying. So let's just take a moment to pray. God the Father, we pray for this younger generation that has been so lied to by the media and even by some of these liberal churches. God, somehow have mercy on America. Turn us back to you. Turn us back to the Bible. May we thank you Roe versus Wade was overthrown. We thank you for the states that are restricting abortion. We pray, Lord, for the young people, though, that you will help them follow you and not the culture. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.